Here comes episode number 59.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 59 of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. And whether you have a small RV like the road trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A RV, heck, even if you just dry camp out of your car or a tent and are thinking about getting an RV, this show's for you. We talk about being out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. And this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. And Leisure Time RV, a family-owned dealership in Central Florida. Your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV. Well, lots coming up in this episode. A little later on, we're going to talk to an author of a great book that really belongs in every RV. It's a book that helps you find hundreds of small-town festivals and events that the guidebooks miss. You won't find them in most of the guidebooks. These are small hometown festivals that let you not only have a whole lot of fun, but really experience great food and learn about interesting people and places far off the interstate. You're going to want to get this book or at least listen to what this author has to say. And we have some great traveling tech tips. We've got a bucket list destination of the week for you to explore. And of course, lots of RV news, tips, and trends. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Mike.
Well, we are coming to everybody today from Albany, Georgia, where, it's still a little bit warm. You can still wear flip-flops and shorts.
It's a rainy, cloudy day, and I thought the temperature in Michigan was the same as down here.
Yeah, it is. It's about the same, but it's in the mid-60s and going to get up in the 70s. That's flip-flop weather.
That's true.
We're actually broadcasting this right from our mobile studio, which is our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. We are, can I tell them where we are?
You can tell them where we are.
We're in the parking lot of the YMCA in Albany, Georgia.
Yes, and I had a great workout.
I did all the work here slaving away in the Road Trek, coming up with all of the show notes for this episode and putting the links in for them while you were in there working out hard.
Well, I would have liked to have gotten you in there to work out hard, too.
I would. This is Tuesday, and of course, as we record this, and that's the day before this episode releases, so somebody had to do this work. But, you know, I kind of like it. It's kind of like my little mobile office. It feels very comfortable and cozy in here.
And I got to work out.
And you got
I'm
to
happy.
Work out. So anyway, we're having a lot of fun. We've been on the road. I think we're home in Michigan maybe 2 out of every 5 to 6 days, 7 days, two days we're home. I think that's what has averaged out since May. So we still got lots more traveling to do.
And we will be home a couple of days, and then we'll take off for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we hit the road Saturday, Halloween, drive back north, and then we turn around and drive back south again. We've told people before, they probably wonder, why do you go back and forth like this? And the reason why is we're making a movie. We're doing a movie.
And we're having a wonderful time sharing in our grandson's life.
Our grandson, Nick, is a senior in high school down here in Georgia. And when he was a little boy, he saw a video that I did of his dad back when his dad was in high school. And I did one of his high school football team. They were a championship team that year. And so Nick, who loves football, grew up watching it. And he asked me as a little boy, Grandpa, will you do one of those movies when I'm a senior in high school? And I said, sure. But we were back in Michigan when I made that promise. He fails to see any distinction at all. A promise is a promise, even though he lives 1,000 miles away. So
And as long as we have the health to do it, we will do it.
So we've got the road trek, and we are on the road all the time and having a really great time. Tonight we have a senior dinner for Nick and all the other senior players in the team, and we'll have some fun taking video of them. It's really fun. We feel part of the team just watching them play. They're doing
such
really well.
Such a nice group of young men, and we've enjoyed getting to know their parents, and it is really a privilege to get to share in his life and as well as these other kids.
Can't believe how handy the road trek has been on this, too, both as a place where we're watching the games to hang out from, and then for tailgating, and also I get to keep all my equipment in here. But that's why we're down in Georgia, and we're having a great time. They're up for the regional championship game on Friday night, and then hopefully the state playoffs. So we'll be down here on and off, we think, right through November. Meantime, though, Jennifer, it's time for you to get to work.
Is that a gadget? A recipe? A tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
We got this idea from visiting the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky last week. It's a way to decorate your RV, or your full sticks and bricks house for that matter, with literally thousands of beautiful colored sparkling lights. They're billed as Christmas lights, but we saw folks down in Kentucky who were using them as Halloween decorations. They're called the Star Shower, and they really are not lights in the traditional sense at all. You don't have to hang string after string of lights, not even a single string. The Star Shower is a laser light projection system. They cover 600 square feet and utilize a small, tiny projector to shine all over your RV. This is so cool. The Star Shower laser light allows you to display thousands of green stars or green and red star combinations. You can select whatever display you want. The company says one set will usually cover the typical single-story house. Now, the folks we saw using them, they had two star shower projectors going, and it perfectly covered their entire 32-foot-long fifth wheel, plus a sizable part of the ground around, and even the trees up high were covered with little lights. The display is very bright, and we thought they were real lights until we got right next to the RV. In fact, the lights attracted us to their fifth wheel. They require a 110-volt electric system to work, either from your RV or from the Shore Power electric box outside the rig. They are available all over the place, as many big box and hardware stores or directly from Amazon. The cost is $39. These are a lot of fun. We might use one at our home this holiday season besides the RV. You can click on the link to check them out for yourself from our show notes page at roadtrekking.com/59.
Questions.
You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Well, we've got email questions that we're going to do this week. We've been taking a lot that came through on our leave voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog, but we also get a lot through email, and sometimes we kind of neglect those in favor of the voice ones. So this week we gathered up some of the email ones. Here's one. This comes from Dolores, and she says, "Hey, Mike, I'm hoping you can help me. I'm so over four walls and a roof, HOA, and neighbors." I think Doris wants to do some full timing, huh?
I think so.
She says, "I want to buy a Class B RV, and I was slow on pulling the trigger on a Born Free built for two, and now it's gone." She notes.
Yeah, sob, sniffle, cry.
Snob, sniffle, cry in her email. "I spend hours going to YouTube videos, including yours, and I saw one I can't remember the name of. This is where I hope you can help. It was definitely a Class B, and what drew my attention was it was electric, had solar panels pre-installed on the roof, and you could run all of the systems from a tablet. They advertised leaving the rig and wanting to turn the lights back on or check the dog. There was an inside camera. The table piece really intrigued me, along with the camera. I travel for a military contractor 3 to 6 months at a time, and rather than hotels, I'd like to have an RV. So no matter where I am, meaning parked on post or at an armory, my home is outside and I can keep an eye on Yogi, my rescued dog. Do you have any idea which RV I was looking at? Ugh," she says, "I can't believe I didn't save it as a favorite. Thanks for any leads you can give me that will take me to what may be my perfect RV." Well, okay. That's kind of fun. So Dolores wants to go out and live in her RV. That's kind of what we're doing.
it sounds perfect for her. I think she would love it.
I think she's talking about a video that we did on the Road Trek TS Adventurous. And this goes back right about the time they first announced it, which was, I want to say, last December, maybe, at the Louisville National RV Show. Might have been even the year before that. But at any rate, yes, it did do all of those things. But I should point out to you that there are many different units now that Road Trek makes that do all of that. So, Dolores, if you want to look, I will put a link on the show notes page. But it's from the Road Trek corporate website, which is roadtrek.com/models. And then you would look under TS Adventurous. That's the unit, I think, that you saw our report on. And it was one of the very first and most innovative ones. It used a system called Coach Connect, which was kind of an online monitoring system that was optional. And it had a couple of workstations you could set up inside there. But now, that was some time ago. Now, almost all of the Road Treks I know out there have similar options. And you don't have to have that tablet connect. You can get a third-party Wi-Fi network card like we have here in the Road Trek. We're on the internet right now with a data card from Verizon. And then they have Wi-Fi cameras that hook up through that card. And so you can be on your tablet or on your smartphone and get a streaming video of what's going on inside your unit. If you look on the Road Trekking blog, you can just go back and search and you'll see a number of them. A number of different options and cameras you can use. But I think the video you're talking about was a couple years old and it was on the Road Trek TS Adventurous. And since then, almost all those options in various ways are available that you can get through third party, like the camera. And of course, all the other Road Treks also have solar and they have all electric. And it's just it's amazing. So take a look at that. And if you go look in the blog, look at what we have. Just search under Road Trek CS Adventurous, and you'll see all the stories that we have done. Okay, let's go to our next one. It says, hey, my husband and I listened to your recent podcast today. We thoroughly enjoyed RV Driving 101. Oh, that's where we interviewed Mark Polk. Mark Polk, I think it was in the last episode, episode number 58, where he talked about some of how you can drive your RV like a pro. And the writer says it was nice to know that those gas station posts jump out at a number of people. Mark talked about backing into them, and we all do that. We're driving into them. She says, so we won't take it personally. Guess she's had experience with that. It's also good to know, since we just traded our Class C motorhome for a Class B, the pivot point was an interesting explanation on how to avoid those nasty gas points. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to it. It's roadtrekking.com/58. Mark talks about it. But anyway, the writer here says, and her name, by the way, is Teresa Markley, and she says, I have a suggestion for you. We just bought our 210 Popular, and it was part of the Eco 200 promotion that started in August through September 30th. One of the Facebook members commented on their Eco 800 and how they're able to camp using the batteries for an extended period. I'd love to have more information about what that is and how it works. All the information I have is rather vague. It says it's lithium batteries, just a small plug-in, a little module. How does this plug into a van aftermarket, or where can you help with this, please? Thanks again for all you both do in promoting the camping lifestyle, from Teresa. Well, thank you, Teresa. Well, these are not aftermarket items. When we're talking about lithium-ion batteries, they're very new, very innovative. And these are devices and systems that need to be installed in the factory. Now, you said you had a 210, I think, that, go back and reread your letter, you had a 210 with the Eco 200. So that's like the smaller configuration of the lithium-ion batteries. There's many different kinds you can go. The one we have is the maximum one, which is, I think, the 800, and that means we don't really have to plug in at all anytime. The 200 will give you lots of life, and you can talk to your dealer about that. They'll walk you through. You already have that if you bought that 210 Popular and have it. Can you upgrade it? Maybe ask the dealer or write to the factory itself. But we get lots of email from people who want to know, I want to add lithium-ion batteries. And right now, that is not a retrofit because it's complicated. You have a battery management system that you have to have, and it interfaces with solar and the solar charger and all that stuff. So I would suggest that you you take a look at what Road Trek offers. Call their factory if you have questions, or your dealer. But we absolutely love our combination of batteries and lithium power.
I love this one from Lori. She says, we always seem to be scrambling to find a place to camp at the end of a traveling day. Many times we've been burned to pull into a pretty miserable campground. Is there a source you and Jennifer use to rate or screen campgrounds?
Oh, man, we know that feeling, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we're, you know, it's like, and it's usually me. I don't follow my 3:30 rule, which is stop at 3:30 in the afternoon or after you've driven 330 miles. And we're rushing to get someplace. And it's 9 o'clock at night. I say, Jennifer, find us a campground. Well, Lori, here's what we do. There's lots of different ways you can do it. You can use Yelp if you've used that service. You can just do a search on Google or on your smartphone or tablet while you're driving, saying campgrounds near whatever city. But we use a website that I like a lot. It's called RV Park Reviews. And I'll put a link to them on the show notes page here. So it's roadtrekking.com/59. And you can find the link to them. But they are great. You get a map of the United States. You click on your state. You find your city. And they will give you unbiased reviews from people who have been in that campground that you're looking at. They'll tell you what it's like. You see the date that they visited. It's a really accurate site, and we have used this across the country, and I find that the best site to take a look at what campgrounds like. You always want to look at what reviews people have left on it. Because if you look at just the advertising, it's pretty deceptive in most campground cases. The advertising, it seldom looks. They get that picture with that perfect angle, but you don't see the vegetation and the swamp next door or whatever. So look at the RV park reviews and go through those. That helps. We also use a number of apps. We use the AllStays app. If you have not tried that, that's a really good app. AllStays, it lists not only RV parks, but if you get the full package, you can find Walmarts where you can overnight or Cracker Barrels where you can overnight. You can also find dump stations. It'll also list the upcoming rest areas. So all of that. But you know what we end up doing is we end up staying on the road more often than not. If we're just going from place A to B, we don't stay in a campground. There are all sorts of places you can stay for free. I've got a couple of secrets that I'm not going to say publicly that we've been using lately.
You've got to not tell.
Because if I said it publicly,
it would be the end of it.
It would be the end of it. But let me just be creative and suggest to you that one of the nice things about traveling like we do in a Class B is it's just the van, you know? And we're not bringing out lawn chairs and grills and slide outs. And so you can park in many, many places. I mean, right now, we're sitting in the YMCA parking lot doing the podcast, and it's about as comfortable as can be. It's just a van in the parking lot. So I'm just giving you a couple of hints of where you can sleep. You can think about places like hotels, and you can think about shopping centers, you know, supermarket parking lots, many of those places. We've never had anybody say, don't spend the night here. Now, again, we don't bring out lawn chairs and make it look like we're spending the night with a campfire and all that stuff. But if you're looking for a place just to sleep, and the other thing we do is rest areas.
And I suppose you should be ready to meet the local police. You're getting people inspired to park just here,
yeah,
there, everywhere.
I know
how busy.
I'm not trying to recommend it. I'm just telling them what we do, and we have found a little niche that she's elbowing me. You can't see it. Tell me. I can't say anything. I'm not going to say where it was. I'm just giving them some hints. Be creative, folks. You don't have
and
to spend.
Ask and whenever possible.
Whenever, and we do. I'll say that. Our little secret, we do ask, and we've not been turned down yet. And the other thing is the rest areas. Yes, I know they say no overnight stays, but come on. What are they for? Is it better for you to drive through the night and in a condition that's not fully alert? No one is going to pull you over if you spend 5, 6, 7 hours sleeping in a rest area. They're not going to kick you out. It's never happened to us. Maybe, I shouldn't say no one, maybe somebody has happened to.
And it goes back to being a van, a Class B.
Yeah, and that's right. We're in a Class B. We're not in a great, big, huge Class A or even a Class C. This is a motorhome, and we shut the drapes and pull the shades down, and we sleep, and it works great. So, all right, well, those are our email questions. And for those of you who do send email, we do keep them all, and we try and answer them often. Usually we do the voice questions that come in, but this week we thought we'd hit some of the emails. Thank you. I hope that answered your questions. We'll put links to everything that we found on our show notes page. So again, that's at roadtrekking.com/59 for this episode. Now, one of the things that we had some fun with, Jennifer just did that little story about in her tip of the week about the lights, those cool little lights we saw that are called the star shower lights, you know. The folks that we found using that were gathered around a campfire at the Kentucky Horse Park, which is just a great campground, one of our favorite campgrounds in the country. And so we just did a little interview because they were out camping for Halloween. Halloween has become huge for camping.
I think it's going to be more popular than Christmas.
Yeah, well, and in terms of Halloween for camping, I mean, every campground that I know that is open in October has Halloween-themed events.
And for those of us in the north, to get that one more time into camp, and usually the whole month of October, they make it fun.
Yeah, and in the case of the Kentucky Horse Park, they're open all year, by the way, that park, but they turn off the water, I think, in November until spring. But you still can camp there with electricity and all that stuff. But it's it is a huge park, and it is filled up every single weekend in October. Now, as this episode is being released, it's the weekend before Halloween, and good luck in getting in. But I think you could probably drive through if you're in it, and it's worth seeing. All of the units are decorated. We have a blog post we did. We took some pictures, so you can just look at roadtrekking.com and you'll see it. It's up in one of the current stories that we took some pictures of the Kentucky Horse Park, all decorated for Halloween. That scene is being replicated across North America this week, as almost every campground that you'll find that's open has folks there. They're Halloween parades, costume contests,
pumpkin carving,
and great decorations. So the folks that had that star shower, we were attracted to them because we saw these just a gazillion lights on their RV. So we just walked over and we took some pictures, and it turns out that the Browns, Debbie Brown, who was there with her husband and her brother and sister-in-law, they camped there every year. And Debbie is a follower of our podcast and our blog. It was kind of fun. She ended up taking our picture.
We have family wherever we go.
Yep, we do. And she even gave us a little going-away gift. We had some great Ohio apples from her brother, I think it was, brother or brother-in-law. Anyway, we just whipped out the interview and thought we'd just share a little bit around the campfire. This is just a short little slice of life on Halloween at the Kentucky Horse Park. With some folks we met around a campfire. Tell me your names.
Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
It really is.
Now, come on now.
Seriously is.
Charlie Brown.
And Debbie.
Debbie, and who are you guys?
That's my brother, Rick Jordan, and his wife, Kim.
And where is everybody from?
We're from Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oak Ridge, Tennessee?
How about from Waverly, Ohio.
Waverly, Ohio. So tell me, how big is Halloween at the Kentucky Horse Park?
Oh my goodness, how about there'll be 1,000 kids come through here on Saturday night. They have costume contests and a golf cart parade, and this place will be lit up.
You came a little bit early. This is Wednesday, so it happens, but how many lights you got on your fifth wheel there?
Oh, that's something new we found. Just a lot. That's actually going to be our Christmas lights this year.
Well, it's actually not lights at all. It's a projector,
it's like,
right?
Like a laser.
Yeah, that's great. So what do you like about Halloween camping?
Oh, well, I like the time of year it is, you know, the fall, and, you know, so we're not sweating and all that kind of thing. But we love the excitement the kids bring to that. And we usually have our grandkids. But this year we're not going to have grandkids here, but that's okay.
How many years have you been doing this up here?
Oh my. Last five years anyway.
At least 5 or 6 years, probably more than that.
More people every year?
Well, we book a year ahead.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Spots, yeah.
How about you guys? How long have you been coming to this?
Since
same thing?
We actually live each 3 hours apart in different directions. So this
we
is
meet
a halfway
here.
Point for
meeting.
All of us.
Yeah.
So we meet here 3 times a year, just about.
This is a wonderful park, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is. Well, happy Halloween.
Thank you.
What are you giving away? What are you giving away to everybody this year?
Oh, I have one of those little crabby things our grandkids like that
I don't know.
Krabby Patties.
Krabby Patties.
Yes. They're a special.
Whatever happened to Milk Duds?
Well, do we have Milk Duds?
Oh, I'd be camping here then. Well, it was great to meet you guys.
Oh, it was so nice seeing you guys meeting you. That was a treat.
All right. Well, that was fun meeting them, wasn't it?
It was fun. Such nice people.
And it was funny because we walked up and we said, hey, mind if we take some pictures? And they said, oh, no, go ahead. What's it for? And we said, oh, we've got a little blog. And then Debbie said, you're Mike and Jennifer. You know, I listen and I watch. And it was fun.
I recognized your voice.
Yeah. And that happened. And it happened to us the next day, too, when we were down in the Great Smoky Mountains. And we got recognized by some of our listeners there. So there's a lot of you out there. And it don't ever be shy if you see us. We'd just love to meet you. It's really fun to see everybody out there.
It is fun.
We'll be talking about the Great Smoky Mountains in our Off the Beaten Path report a little bit later on. It's actually our bucket list of the week. It was knock your socks off, drop dead gorgeous. With
talk
the color.
About perfect.
God is an incredible artist, isn't he?
Well, it was so funny because we were thinking we were going to take a different route and got a little messed up on that one. And then we thought, well, we're going to go for it.
So we went and spent a day at the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and we got them all over the news. There's a big story about the bears coming up in a minute on our RV news of the week, but that was great. So that's coming up later on, but it was fun meeting those folks around the campfire. And thank you all for sending in email questions to us. Jennifer, thanks for helping us with the questions and for your tip of the week.
My pleasure to be part of this.
Now, if you all would like to be a part of this, we love to get your comments, your questions, your tips, your suggestions. The Road Trekking RV Podcast is all about you. It's your podcast. So here's how you can leave us a voice question and be on the podcast.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three different locations. And all three of these locations have a great fly and drive program. You make your deal over the internet or online or on the phone, however you want to do it. And then once you've made your deal, they'll pick you up. You fly there, they'll pick you up from the airport, they'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare, and then your RV will be fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Here's Dan, the van man, with the latest from Van City RV and their sponsoring dealerships in Kalispell, Montana and Las Vegas, Nevada.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, I got some incredible deals here. I got a 2014 CS Adventures out the door. 113,330. I also have a Road Trek 210 Popular at an incredible price. You can give us a call on those at 1-800-467-3905, or you can check them out at vancityrv.com. We also have some incredible inventory reduction sales going on at crestonrv.com and wagontrailrv.com. So don't miss out on the great savings.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Van City RV. And you can check them out online.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, lots of news. If you all followed the story on the massive hurricane that swept through Mexico over the weekend, has followed water and flooding and heavy rains all the way up through Texas, even where we are right now coming to you from Georgia. It's very wet. It's been raining for the last couple of days. Well, those storms dumped a ton of rain in West Texas, and that led to flooding that literally floated several travel trailers and a double-wide mobile home away from an RV park outside of Dallas. The Upton County Sheriff, Dan Brown, says nobody was in the trailers during the flooding in Rankin, which is about 60 miles south of Odessa, not too far from Dallas, I guess. The occupants got safely evacuated. Odessa Emergency Management says crews conducted about 30 swift water rescues from stranded vehicles and flooded structures. They ended up with 3.7 inches of rain, flooded all over the place. It was very fast. There was a hailstorm as well, but floating RVs from that rain. That was pretty amazing. So always be careful as we bring this up whenever there's a major storm, because you want to make sure that you know the way out and that you've talked with people and you have a plan if bad weather should come. So good luck to all those folks, and it's good that they were able to get out, but be careful and watch out for the weather. Here's another story that sort of illustrates how popular the small motorhome lifestyle has become. There's a brand new manufacturer that has jumped into the Class B motorhome market. It's actually, the manufacturer's been along for a long time. It's Coachmen. Coachmen, you know, they a division of Forest River, and you've seen their RVs. They make big RVs, and I think they do travel trailers and fifth wheels, and there's Coachmen Class C motorhomes. Well, they've now entered the Class B market, launching a brand new Class B motorhome called the Galleria. It's a standalone division that's going to be with the Class B division within Coachmen, and they've made a dedicated Class B manufacturing facility located on the 230-acre Coachmen complex in Middlebury, Indiana. And the Galleria is built on a 170-inch extended Mercedes-Benz Sprinter platform. That's the long one. That's the one I have in my road truck CS Adventurous XL. That's the XL version of it, powered by a 3-liter V6 turbo diesel, 5-speed automatic transmission. You can get all sorts of chassis amenities like the backup camera. Interior is plush interiors, custom-made cabinetry, space-conscious design. The company says that they have tried to make the clean automotive exterior lines preserved on the inside with high-end appliances that don't clutter it up. They've got some inside custom-made cabinets, hardwood cabinets, radius doors, soft-close hinges. They have Corian countertops, a Euro-style sink, an induction cooktop, upholstered cab seats that swivel to face the companion seats, or, you know, a dining area up front, Bluetooth compatibility for the dashboard stuff with, you know, GPS. What else? Three floor plans, one with three or four captain's chairs, depending on what you want, and sleeping options you can handle. There's a power rear sofa or electronically operated independent twin beds, and all of them would be 80 inches long. And two color options, graphite or cream, and two exterior colors, brilliant silver and arctic white. So it's the Galleria, brand new Class B motorhome on the extended Sprinter chassis. And it's going to be available through, I don't know if they're building them right now or not, but check with your nearest Forest River manufacturer or your Forest River dealer, and you can find out. So just another indication of how many people are going to Class Bs in this smaller motorhome lifestyle. That not that that's the only kind, but it just is so much convenient, as we were just talking about in the one that Jennifer and I have. So good luck to Coachmen for jumping in. And one more story, this one from, as we said, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. This has been a bad year for traditional food for bears. And you know there's a lot of bears in Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And anyway, their traditional food, their normal food sources just didn't produce right. So bears are all over the places, in not just in the park, but they've been roaming into surrounding communities in Gatlinburg and Cherokee and even up into Pigeon Forge. And so people are warning folks to keep their garbage and their pet food and their bird seed indoors. Don't leave it out overnight. And the park's bears depend on fall foods like acorns and grapes to store their fat reserves. But this year, those foods are extremely rare, and so bears are moving considerable distances even out of the park in search of food. When we were there, we saw three cubs that were right off the road trying to get some food, and they were biting into a nut tree, you know, trying to look like it was hickory nuts that they were trying to get, which is not one of their normal foods. They don't usually grab those, but that's what the little guys were eating. There were very few cherries this year, wild cherries, said the Park Service. And so the bears are all around. People are reminded to respect these guys. Remember that they are wild animals, and you want to be very careful. So the bears of the Smoky Mountains National Park are pretty active. This part of the podcast, in fact, we're going to talk more about Smoky Mountain National Park in just a couple minutes as we do our destination of the week, the bucket list destination, because you want to go there, and this is a great time with the color there. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Leisure Time RV, serving Central Florida and really everywhere from Winter Garden, Florida. Leisure Time RV is a family-owned dealership. They're based not too far out of Orlando, so they're very convenient to get to if you're down in Florida, Winter Garden, Florida. And they've been in business for 45 years, consistently ranked among the very top road trek dealers in North America with the full line of the Road Trek Class B inventory. And they also have travel trailers. They've got used RVs. Jennifer and I have visited Leisure Time RV. We know the staff. We're very impressed with their honesty, their integrity, the first-rate service that you'll find there. What I think is so neat about Leisure Time RV is that they sell all over the country. So if you're shopping for an RV, don't just, you know, go local, but, you know, make sure, see if you can get a better deal. And let's face it, you know, buying one this time of year, what do you want to take possession of, up in a cold state with snow coming? Or do you want to go down to Florida and take it where you can actually use it right now? So anyway, Leisure Time RV, they're well worth checking before you buy, get a price from them. And here's Ken Prentice. He's the manager of Leisure Time RV with what's happening at the dealership.
Hi, Mike. It's Ken at Leisure Time RV in Winter Garden, Florida. We feel bad for all the folks that are dealing with floods like Texas, Alabama, and Louisiana. Hey, come to Florida. It's dry and sunny. Don't forget you can get an extra $6,000 when you purchase a new 2015 Road Trek on a 2014 chassis. This ends this Saturday, October 31st, 2015. Check with us before you buy at 1-800-336-6565 or email at admin@leisuretimerv.com. We sell to folks all over the United States. Check out our great selection of Road Treks, the newest Zion, or the CS with the eTrek package, the best of all worlds, and also the TS Adventurous with the electronic package, plus all the other great models. See all our inventory on our website at www.leisuretimerv.com or give us a call at 1-800-336-6565. Remember, your vacation starts at Leisure Time RV.
Gadgets, gizmos, smartphones, personal tech, we cover it all. Time now for Mike's Thingamajig of the Week.
You know, sometimes we end up talking geek speak when we talk about technology and traveling tech and smartphones and tablets, and we talk about the different OS for as if everybody knows that OS stands for operating system. Sometimes it's just kind of good to go back and to kind of touch on some of the basics, get a little primer on what we're talking about with the sophisticated ways our smartphones and our tablets work. And so our Uber user, Paul Ulrich, tells us this week about the different operating systems that are available on today's smartphone. And Paul has a pretty interesting take on them. He says they're now so powerful that they're all, in a sense of the way, identical because they all do about the same thing. So here's Paul's kind of walkthrough on what you need to know about the operating system of a smartphone. Here's Paul Ulrich.
Hey, Mike, it's Paul from Verizon here. The last couple weeks, we talked about smaller tablets, the iPad mini and the Ellipsis. Then last week, we talked about when to upgrade your phone and not to have buyer's remorse, not to worry about it, just go ahead and do it. This week, I wanted to talk about the different operating systems on the phones. Some of the smaller ones that aren't quite as popular anymore, but people still love them, is Windows and BlackBerry OS, of course. Then you've got the two big players, right? You've got Android and you've got iOS. So that's kind of the argument, right? A lot of people say, no, I like my Android phone. No, my iPhone's better. It works better. I've used both. Right now I am using an iPhone 6 and a Samsung Galaxy S6. So kind of the latest round of phones from each manufacturer. I haven't gotten to use the 6S yet for the Apple device, but that upgrade was kind of just a minor upgrade from the 6. And there's pluses and minuses to both. I know back in the day when they first came out, people said, oh, well, only use Apple if you're an intro to smartphone user because it's easier. The operating system where Android and iOS are starting to get so close together, they can, both of them can almost do all the exact same thing. So I would say if you are a smartphone buyer and you're looking to change operating systems, go ahead and do it. It's fun. I used to be strictly Android on my main phone, and then I switched to iOS for my main phone. I sometimes switch back and forth depending on what phone I'm using, but it's a nice change. They both still have, you know, if you really like Siri, you know, Google has OK Google. I can't say that too loud because my phone will then start turning on. They both have, you know, they both can do multitasking, which is big. A big thing is when you multitask on the iPhone, you double tap the home button. When I want to multitask on my Android, you press the button. It's got a single soft key for it. So big deal? No. A double press or one press, not a big deal. But they all have, they both have tons of apps. The iPhone is a little more integrated into iTunes when you want to add and remove photos. Sometimes it gets a little more difficult. It's a little bit easier on the Android as far as I'm concerned. But there's so many different things. I always tell people, if you want to go ahead and make the switch, do it. It's fun learning something new. For the Road Trekking RV Podcast, I'm Verizon Wireless Uber user Paul Ulrich reporting.
And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. With the end of Major League Baseball, yep, it's all over. You know, we got the World Series coming up now, and it's just about ending for the season. But this is good timing that Root Metric released some stats on how cellular data networks performed at 29 Major League Baseball venues around the country. It's a very interesting study, and it proved that Verizon's point about why better matters when it comes to your wireless network. Verizon scored the most number one rankings, with Root Metrics giving Verizon outright wins or ties for wins at 15 of 29 of the Major League Baseball venues that they reviewed. So when things aren't made well, you find out, you know, sooner or later, and it's like that with a wireless network. I mean, true, you might not be able to see it, but just like everything, if it's important to you, it's important that it works. And that's why Verizon says it's the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. And you can, I'll put a link on the website. You can go to that Root Metric study. You can find out why better matters when it comes to your wireless network. And, of course, you can also visit roadtrekking.com/VZW if you want to find some stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, let's see. We got two of them to tell you about this week. We've got one of them is in Florida at Estero Beach, Florida, and right off I-75, as a matter of fact, at the Germain Arena. It opens on Friday, and it runs until Sunday, November 1st. And we will put a link on the show notes section for this if you want to get directions there. But it's called the Fall Clean Sweep RV Show, held in Estero Beach. It's sponsored by the Florida RV Dealers Association there. And they've got tons of RVs on display, free admission, free parking. If you're down in that part of Florida, it's exit 173 off of busy I-75 there. So for the Fall Clean Sweep RV Show, Estero Beach, Florida. And then the other big one that I know about is out in Texas. It's the Austin RV Super Sale. And that starts again Friday, goes until Sunday, November 1st. This one's in right outside of Austin, Round Rock, Texas. And there's a link on, we'll put that on the show notes as well. It's Austin RV Expo. This is being held at the Dell Diamond in Round Rock. Big place for gathering. They have a whole bunch of RV dealers there. And this will be an end-of-the-season sale, so not only can you shop around, but they're going to give you some special deals as well. So two big RV shows, one in Florida and one in Texas. Just head over, take a look at it, and you will be able to go check out that RV that you've been dreaming about.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, what we want to tell you is, and we've kind of referred to it a couple of times already in the podcast, and that is the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Do you know that that is, well, it goes back and forth every year with the Grand Canyon, the most visited national park in the whole system. but it is an absolutely gorgeous hunk of land. It's a huge park. It straddles two states, parts of Tennessee and North Carolina, about equal amounts of both states inside the border. And to get there, you really want to, for us, we took I-75 and pulled off at Knoxville and made our way over to I-40. And then pulled off I-40 and took U.S. 441 down in through Pigeon Forge and then Gatlinburg. And both of those towns are, well, they're very touristy towns. I mean, everything is there. You see King Kong climbing on a roof. You see an upside-down building. And it's kind of like a cross between Vegas and Branson and maybe a little bit of Orlando thrown in. That's Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. But Pigeon Forge, but where we were really headed was the park itself. The park is half a million acres in size, a little over that actually. And as I said, it goes back and forth with Grand Canyon, is the most visited national park. It's a beautiful park. The Great Smoky Mountains are spectacular, and this is the time of year to go. We caught it on a perfect day last week. If you go to the blog, roadtrekking.com, and look at the show notes page here, roadtrekking.com/59, I'll put a link to our story on it and take a look at the photos. It was a perfectly clear day. The trees were spectacular. The peak was really last week and this week, and so if you want to get there to see the colors at the peak, by all means, do so. It's an easy park to access. U.S. Route 441 really goes north to south, and it's right down in the middle of it, and lots of turnout spots. We took a drive. The one I would recommend everybody do is take a drive to 7 miles off 441. You climb up to the highest peak in the Smoky Mountains, which is called Clingman's Dome. That's about 6,400 feet. And you park in a nice parking area there. If you don't want to walk any further and aren't up to walking, then that's fine. You're going to get a great vista there. But you really, if you can, walk this half-mile path. It's straight up. It's a tough climb. You will need to stop and catch your breath several times. I had a lot of fun as I was walking it. I was carrying a tripod and a camera, but I'd see these dads and moms with their kids going up, and the kids were all getting a little cranky because it's a half-mile straight up. I mean, you're huffing and puffing. And so I'd walk up to every dad and I'd say, hey, how you doing? You know, great. And then I'd look at the kids and say, don't you think your daddy should carry you on your shoulders? Jennifer told me I had to quit saying that because somebody was going to push me off the hill there that I was on. But anyway, it's great. But by all means, if you can, take a hike up that. You'll see the Appalachian Trail, by the way. It runs right through the park, and it crosses that path that you'll be on. So you can actually put your foot on the Appalachian Trail. Tell everybody you walk that a little bit. And then when you get up to the top of Clingman's Dome, there's an observation tower that climbs up a little bit, and you get this absolutely awesome view. We went at sunset, and take a look at the photograph that you can see. It was just gorgeous. And you see why they call them the Great Smokies, the haze between each of the gently rounded peaks of this beautiful national park. So that's our destination of the week. I just can't tell you how much we enjoyed it. We since we're down, we kind of go past it every trip we take south, and we're going to kind of make this an all-season stop along the way as we keep moving along and seeing what we can find out. Off the beaten path, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. You can take all the photos and more information about how to get there, about the campgrounds in the area, all that right from the show notes page, which is roadtrekking.com/59. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know in heat when you're choosing a system for your RV. The Aldi Hydronic System is now available from several different RV manufacturers. And the reason you want this is because it brings you all these awesome features and benefits that you cannot get with the traditional forced air heat. The Aldi Hydronic System works with water, and so it is a silent heat. It's a radiant heat. You don't have a dry, noisy fan blowing out hot air. It is a beautifully comfortable heat. It's perfect for pets. Pets love it. Humans love it. It gives you increased interior space because it combines two systems in one, both your water heater and your interior heating system. It's very efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, so it extends the life of the propane that you're using roughly 40% because forced air takes a gobble of energy, and the Aldi system is so much more efficient. You can also heat with electric with it or gas, propane gas. It has multiple options. The one that we have in our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL that Jennifer and I have is the heated floors. It is so nice. And the heated bathroom. Get up, and we do a lot of late season camping and winter camping and early spring. And sometimes the mornings can get pretty cold. And having that heated floor, it's like heaven. So check it out. We have a link to the Aldi website from our show notes page, roadtrekking.com/59. But Aldi, A-L-D-E, it is the only name that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
All right, continuing right along, I have promised you an interview with a great author who has a book that belongs in every RV. The author's name is Don Vaughn. We talked about this book in a podcast that Jennifer shared with it, mentioned it as one of the resources we use when we're looking to find really fun places to go and see that aren't in the guidebooks. Well, Don Vaughn has put together a book about festivals, small hometown festivals across the country, hundreds of them, actually, that are held out there. And we're so taken by the book that we called up Don and said, hey, Don, come on the podcast and meet our audience. So without any further ado, meet Don Vaughn. Well, joining us right now is Donald Vaughn himself. Hello, Donald. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you today?
Oh, I am great. I'm actually holding your book, Amazing Festivals, Hundreds of Hometown Celebrations, in my hand. We mentioned it, as I said earlier in the podcast as I was introducing you. We mentioned it in a previous issue because people are always asking us, well, how do you find all these great things? And we said we just found this great book. And it was one of our listeners who we met at an RV show who also referred us to your book. So it is a perfect book for RVers. And we will put a link up on the website. But how did you find all of these festivals out there that are in the book that you have? And you wrote that book, I should note, with your co-author, Eric Peterson.
Yes, I did want to acknowledge Eric on this. He and I co-authored the book together. We kind of divvied it up between the two of us, and he did 50% and I did 50%. What we did was we divided the nation up into eight regions. Actually, we North America into eight regions, one of which includes Canada, which has some amazing festivals as well. And then what we did was we went state by state in those particular regions. And there were some parameters that we had been given by our publisher. We wanted to make sure that the events that we were talking about were still ongoing. Some of them have been around for decades and some for only a few years. We wanted to make sure that, you know, that they were still ongoing for people. We also wanted a lot of diversity in this list, and you will find it. There's food festivals, music festivals, regional holiday and seasonal festivals, theater festivals, art festivals. It really covers a very broad range of festival topics. And then there's my personal favorite, some of the really unusual festivals. So we made up a list, Eric and I, and we sent it to our editor, and our editors got together and decided which festivals that they wanted to profile. And then Eric and I went back and did some digging and got the information that we needed regarding each event. And he and I also did the captions for all of the photographs that accompany the conference profiles in the book. And so that's really how we approached it that way. We went to the websites, we talked to individuals involved with each festival, confirmed the information, found out what the most fun stuff was going on at each event, and took it from there.
Well, it's so much fun to look at this thing. It's kind of like a coffee table book, really. It's a big book, but everything from like the Superman celebration in Metropolis, Illinois.
That's one of my favorites. I'm a comic book geek, Mike. I'm going to go ahead and wave my geek flag high on that. So I got to write the Superman celebration profile of that. And so that's the kind of interesting thing that that I really enjoyed about this project, those kinds of things.
Well, this is the kind of stuff that so many of our listeners who are RVers and love to travel, particularly off the interstates. This is like Metropolis, Illinois. And of course, Metropolis is Superman's home, but where everybody dress up like Superman, and it's the 4-day event in June. I am going to that next year. I will definitely do that. And we keep this book now in our RV because you've got festivals that happen across the country almost every month. It is every month of the year. There's something somewhere.
Well, that's true. You could take a year and go month by month and travel to festival to festival to festival in all 50 states and have a great time and still not see everything that's going on. That's how many festivals there are in this country. And that was one of the more difficult aspects of putting this book together. It was, you know, having to decide which ones we were going to use and which ones we may have liked, but, you know, we couldn't use everything, obviously, so certain festivals had to be cut. And that was a little difficult, you know, and it's kind of like, well, golly, this one is a lot of fun, but we've got a similar festival here, so, all right, we're going to go with that instead of the other one. So, yeah, making the decisions, making the cuts was difficult.
I think the thing that's neat about this is that as you travel in your RV, you can say, well, let's see, we're going to be in the Midwest, and then you open it up to Midwest, and you see, well, what's happening in and around the area at the time you're going, and then you can vector yourself in, check their website, get the exact times. There's great photos in it, but it's one of those resources that you just want to carry with you. I noted, though, that you've written another book that is kind of an interest to us because of its title. The title is 500 Things to Do Before You Kick the Bucket. And I know you've done a lot of research on that. We have on our podcast here, we have a special section that we do every week called A Bucket, the Bucket List Destination of the Week. Did you ever figure out where this whole term bucket list came about, other than kick the bucket, I guess that's the thing? But
The only thing I can remember is that there was a Jack Nicholson movie called The Bucket List. And yep. I'm sure that's not exactly where the phrase originated, but I think that's what really popularized it. And people started making their own bucket lists as a result of that. And the book 500 Things to Do Before You Kick the Bucket is a result of that as well.
That is also available at Amazon, and we'll put a link to that. But what are some of let's talk about that for a minute. What were some of the things that you enjoyed as you put that book together?
Lot of fun. It really was. And what I enjoyed about this was coming. And also, I want to acknowledge also that I wrote the majority of this particular book, but two other authors also contributed to it. So I want to make sure that I acknowledge them as well. But what I strive to do with this particular book was go big and go small. Certain things, you know, like learn a magic trick. Something as simple as learn a magic trick and then perform it for a child. And something as grand as traveling to go see the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican. You know, so I mean, there's little things that you can do with little effort. And then there's things that you can do if you have some money to spend or you like to travel. And then we tried to cover all the bases that way. Well, things like pull taffy, you know, or go to a restaurant and order only dessert for your meal. And then bigger things, you know, buy a piece of jewelry at Tiffany's and present it to your spouse.
So that's
little things like that. One thing I like to do, and I know this sounds goofy, but it's actually a lot of fun, is climb up on your roof. Sit on your roof for a few minutes and kind of look at your neighborhood from that perspective.
And maybe you'll kick the bucket, you slip and fall, and you'll kick the bucket quick.
Go to the top of the Empire State Building and look at New York from that perspective.
Well, that's good. That's 500 things to do before you kick the bucket. Back to the festival book, which is the one that I'm just going through. I just found another one that I wanted to check. The Fort Bridger Rendezvous and Mountain Man Festivals. These are the kinds of things that strike me that are so off, that are so much a part of North American folklore and North American culture, celebrating history and celebrating the economic in a little unique parts of our country that are contributed, like the Popcorn Festival in Valparaiso, I think Illinois or someplace, or Indiana maybe. But all these things, how on earth did you find all of these festivals?
Believe it or not, it was actually quite simple. Thanks to the internet, what we would do is we would just Google a particular state plus festivals. And I would encourage your listeners to do that also, whatever state they happen to be living in, because you will find a tremendous number of events that way. Now, certain things we knew that we wanted to include, large things like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and Mardi Gras in New Orleans, certain things were a given. But a lot of these we found through a deep dive internet search going state by state and putting in certain keywords to bring us that. And understandably, it was an overwhelming number of events for us to have to sort through and decide which ones we wanted to profile in the book. But as you pointed out, every state has these particular kinds of cultural events. Every single state has these that really illustrate what the state is about and its history and its culture and its people and its food and everything that makes the citizens of that particular state proud to live there. And that's something that we really wanted to profile in this book, is those kinds of events, the kinds that really illustrate what makes a particular state or a particular region really unique and really special, and someplace that people who don't live there would really like to visit.
Did you have?
And I really hope that we succeeded in that.
Did you have a particular favorite as you went through that and looked at all those festivals? We mentioned the Superman Festival.
I like the weird stuff. And there's a couple of events in this book. One in particular, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And every year we have an event at our Museum of Natural History called Bug Fest. In fact, the 2015 Bug Fest was just a week or so ago. This brings in about 35,000 people from North Carolina and surrounding states, and it is essentially a celebration of insects. And one of the things that you get to do if you want to is they have a cooking competition in which all of the recipes feature insects as an ingredient, and you can taste that if you want to. And Bug Fest has really grown in popularity. It's just an amazing event, brings tremendous numbers of people to our state and to our capital city. But one in particular that I really like, and I haven't been able to attend this yet, but I hope to someday, is an event in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania called Blob Fest.
Blob Fest.
Blob Fest. You remember the movie The Blob?
I do.
Steve McQueen. It was filmed in and around Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. And the theater there, the Colonial Theater, is prominently featured in the movie and is still in existence in the town. It's a small town. And so every year they have a festival based around the movie The Blob. They show the movie. There's a scene in the movie where the blob attacks the theater and everyone comes running out of the theater. And they reenact that scene as part of the annual festival. And they also have the gentleman who owns the blob, the actual silicone blob that was featured in the movie. He keeps it in a bucket, and he brings the blob to Blob Fest every year, and you can have your picture taken with the blob if you want to. There's other kinds of events surrounding that, but it's just a silly kind of event that is really popular and a lot of fun.
We tend to do this almost every weekend. We just came from the Peanut Festival in Plains, Georgia, where we ran into Jimmy Carter, who is out there celebrating it, and just thoroughly enjoyed that. Here's my favorite one, and this is another one in Georgia. In fact, it celebrates the official prepared food of the state of Georgia, grits. It's the National Grits Festival in Warwick, Georgia in April. I am going to that one as well.
Have a bowl for me, Mike.
Well, you know, the secret to grits for me is putting a little hot sauce in it. But and you have just so many awesome little places. And I want to really recommend this book to our listeners. And I just had to get you on the program to see if you were as enthusiastic in person as comes through the book.
Let me encourage your listeners to go to Colorado. Colorado has two of the most unusual festivals in the book, Mike the Headless Chicken Festival in Fruita and the Frozen Dead Guy Days in Nederland. Those are two of the most unusual things you will ever attend.
I wonder if they started those festivals after marijuana was legalized in Colorado, or if these are longer.
Wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be a definite correlation there. That's pretty funny. They are definitely correlated. I can tell you that. So that's good. Well, I want to thank you very much for first taking the time, Don, and coming up with this idea. For our RV audience, this is just a great way to find fun and to plan their next adventure. It's called Amazing Festivals, Hundreds of Hometown Celebrations. These are off the beaten path many times, places that people can go. We'll put a link to that up. And I'll also put a link up to your 500 things to do before you kick the bucket. Our guest has been Donald Vaughn. Don, thank you so much for making time for an appearance on the podcast today.
Mike, thank you so much for having me, and I want to wish all of your listeners happy travels.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Wasn't that a lot of fun?
Yeah, I got lots of ideas. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
I know. Ever since you did that as your tip of the week a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, I started looking through that book, and I said, we just got to have that guy on the show. And that was really fun.
Well, there's a lot out there.
There is a lot of fun things indeed. Well, Jennifer, that's another episode. This is number 59. Can you believe we've done 59 of these?
I can't believe 59.
Well, we have another 59 in us at least.
Oh, I think we do.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of the podcast. Jennifer and I are in Albany, Georgia this week, hitting the road on Halloween Day, heading back north through a number of states. You see it on the road. Honk your horn or give us a wave. And we always enjoy seeing everybody.
Don't say honk your horn like that. Last time somebody honked my horn, I had a flat tire.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And plus, we got to change the horn on this little Mercedes. It's got a little European horn. It kind of goes, meep, meep. I mean, I need like a, it just, meep, meep.
Yeah, it's definitely European.
Yeah, definitely European sissy horn. So we got to get a better horn. All right, listen, thank you all for being a part of it. This is the 59th edition of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. Remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message to us. You just click the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website, little black strip along the right-hand side. Just click that and use your microphone on your computer and you can send us a message. We love hearing your voices as well. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/roadtrekking. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at roadtrekking. I also ask you if you'd do me a big favor and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. That's how we get noticed amongst all those travel podcasts that are out there. Appreciate everything you guys do. All the welcome and the kind notes that we get from you. We'll be back 1 week from today with episode number 60. Till then, thanks for keeping us in your ear. See y'all.